Wednesday, 20th of Adar Sheni, 23rd of March, Dian Levi, Yitzchok Raskin, Shlita, Hilchos Mekoros Komets. This week's Torah has been sponsored by family Duna on the 14th Yahrtide of their father, Reben Tzion ben Rav Avraham Moshe Levi Duna, Zon Levoka, whose Yahrtide was on Shabbos. Hilchos Mekoros Komets.
Morning.
Morning. Pleasure to be here. Actually, NC Oliver Sholem was a class, well, just a class younger than me, Mitzalanga Yor. We went to school together, and he's Yichrei Borg. I chose to focus primarily on Mechiras Chometz. I'll just switch this thing off. If there's time, we'll go into some other shailas which have come up, but meanwhile, let's start off with Mechiras Chometz. The source of Mechiras, there's no mention of Mechiras Chometz in the Gemara. There is a Tosefta in Pesachim Perek Beis, which has the following. There's a Yid who's on a boat, on a long trip, and he's got his supplies for his travel. Then comes Pesach, in the middle of his journey. Could be a couple of months journey. And what's he going to do for... Well, he can throw it off board, but what's he going to have for the rest of his journey? So he goes over to a goy on the boat, and he says, could you buy this off from me? And if you're agreeable, I'll buy it back from you. That's the earliest source.
Which he tonight that he has to send it back to you.
No, it mustn't be a tonight. No strings attached. No, but it's just there is this, you know. And then there's always these kunsen. How do you? You're not allowed to. Mustn't have strings attached because then it means you still have a bialus, and we want to get the chometz out of our ownership. So one of the tricks is. You say to the goy, "Ad she tikne bimenu b'meyo, tikne bimenu b'mosai." I've got this box of chametz. It's worth $100. Buy it from me for $200. He buys it for $200. He's not going to buy it. No, it's not worth it for him to use it. It's not worth it for him to set to resell it to anyone else because who's going to buy something worth $100 for $200? And therefore, it's going to stay stuck by the goy till after Pesach. And after Pesach, I'll buy it back from him.
Why would the goy be silly to pay $200?
Now we get into the interesting Zach. Why would he do it? Does it mean he actually gives $200? Possibly. And there's they're Hamish, and they trust one another. They feel safe. Yes? That he could do. Bichal, the goy has to trust you to a degree. I mean, you come along with a whole... pack of God gives you money, trust that you'll get.
Nobody's going to do it.
Okay, so that's. But now, traditionally, so the precedent in the Tosefta is a very small. Size the transaction. You're talking about one traveller has got his a few weeks' supply of chometz on the boat. That is grace of Isis. But now we're talking about when you have. Possibly regular Balabatim did not sell Chometz Be'en. Today there's a very big tenua. Many, many people do not sell Chometz Be'en. They only sell, chashash, yeah?
Whiskey.
There are those who don't sell whiskey either, yeah? But then there are those who have, or those who are into commercial. They can't afford not to sell Chometz. They can't do this Chumrah, this job. And therefore they do sell actual Chometz. So how does it work? So there were two methods. One was that where do you find a goy to buy the chometz of a whole town? It's talking about, could be hundreds of thousands of pounds, the chometz of a whole community. So there were two methods here, which were used. One was, I know it's worth 100,000 pounds, we're selling it to you for $200, or whatever, 200 pounds. But then that is actually, it's dangerous. Because what would happen if the goy decides to keep it? So he got the bargain, got all this for £200. Doesn't make sense. Then there's the other side of saying, no, I'm selling it to you for full value. $200,000. None of us. You'll pay the first installment, and you'll owe the rest of the money. After Pesach, we'll sort it out and buy it back, and then the whole... we don't cancel the sale. We buy it back. This is also questionable. The question is, if I go to Harrods, do they still exist? I go to Harrods and I buy a three-piece suite. But I didn't buy, everyone has now, you pay in installments. It's delivered to my house. First installment, didn't pay. Second installment, didn't pay. Third installment, didn't pay. You know what's going to happen? Harrods are going to send a truck, a lorry in England, and they're going to come to pick it up. Well, they still don't pay. The sale is a valid sale. Your money, but it's a valid sale. There's a concept in halacha, ayil v'nofek azusa. If the vendor is keeping on persisting, where's my money? So then that is grounds to invalidate the sale retroactively.
Validated, it belongs to the Eid, not to the
goy. Exactly. So now, if you do mechias chometz in a way that you sell it for, you put a down payment, and the rest he owes, and if that's not going to happen, so then there's a chashash that the whole sale is invalidated. That's the chashash on the other way of mechias chometz when you just do the first payment. Just yesterday, I got an email, WhatsApp, whatever. There's someone who's an insurance broker by the name of Ormond. Is that a familiar name?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So he writes an article that he had discussed with Rabbi David Cohen of here of Hendon, North Hendon, Adas?
Cohen.
The discussion was about insurance. He's an insurance broker. Who is... Is the chometz during Pesach insured? Because insurance is only if you own it. But if you've sold it to a third party, so then your insurance doesn't cover it. So what would happen if, chas v'sholem, there would be damage? And it's not totally far-fetched. So for example, if you got chometz stuff in a freezer, commercial freezer, what would happen if there's a power cut? The likelihood is that the goods would get damaged. Then normally you'd be able to go to your insurers. But if it's not yours, then he says, he raises two chashoshes, one on a commercial level and one on a halachic level. On a commercial level, is it sensible to leave goods uninsured? I think on a domestic level, I'm not so worried. What's going to say? But on a commercial level, perhaps he's got a valid point. The other point he says, does the goy realize when he is buying the chometz that he is taking responsibility in the case of the goods getting damaged, that he actually is going to have to pay for it? And if he doesn't, so then the whole chometz is, he's just... I used to sell chometz to an next-door neighbor. He was a Goyla Mahadrin from Fiji, and he was a nice fellow. Yeah, I'm asking, man. Yes, he would smile as everything's okay. But does he realize what he's letting himself into? So these are risks. So I know that I want to share with you what the Baal HaTanya introduced for his. He was worried about, not about insurance, but the first worry about. So he introduced a concept called an Orav Kabbalah. The Orav Kabbalah exists in Gemara. But he introduced that when I sell the chometz, so here, I've got here with me, I printed out, this is the Shtar Mechiras chometz, which you can see. It's all tiny print. That's the actual Mechira, which I read out to the Goy, which I'll tell you in a moment about. But besides that, before Pesach, I go to another person in the Kehillah who doesn't sell chometz with me, and he becomes the Orav, which means when the Goy gives me the 10, 20, 80 pounds, whatever, Erev Pesach, he also gives me this piece of paper, which says that Rabbi so-and-so, Mr. so-and-so, has taken responsibility for any money owing. And basically, I tell the goy, I can tell him a goy with the confidence, once you give me the money and this piece of paper, you don't owe me a penny. If chas v'sholom, there would be damage, it would not be the goy's liability. It would be the liability of the Orav Kablan.
Of the?
The Orav Kablan.
So is he the Balabos?
He's not the Balabos, but he is the Orav. And he takes the responsibility that anything which is owing after Pesach, 3 days after Pesach, that he takes responsibility to.
If some chometz is left.
Yes.
What happens
if that is below? No, after Pesach, no. So let's. What happens is I sell the chometz to the goy, and he gives me the let's say, £100, and the Orav Kablan. So let's say the goy would want to, comes after Pesach, and the goy is happy to hold on to the chometz. So then he's paid me in full because he's got our kablan. So I don't go to the goy for the rest of the money. This is all hypothetical, yeah? I'll go to the Orav Kablan and say, listen, I sold chometz to this goy, you took responsibility. Now you owe me £100,000 minus the £100 the goy paid. Okay, you owe me £100,000. So he says, the Orav comes, sure, no problem. Yeah, for the Rav, just give me a day or two. He goes over to the goy, he says, I covered for you. So you now owe me money. All that whiskey, I'm paying for that whiskey. Yeah, because I covered for you. I didn't do it you out of Avos Esav. I did it for you because I felt it's safe. If you don't, so give me the £100,000. The goy says, I don't have. So he says, okay, I'll take the whiskey instead. So the Orav Kablan, after Pesach, he says to the goy, fine. You don't have cash to pay me. I'm going to pay for you. You don't have cash to pay me, so give me the whiskey instead. Okay, take the whiskey. So then I go. Then the Orav Kablan comes back to me, Rabbi, no problem. I'm paying you the full £100,000. It's in whiskey here, and whiskey there, and whiskey there. It's all settled.
Yeah, if something happens, the damage.
Oh, so the risk is, what would happen if the goy is smart enough to say, I have a pub, free of charge, he'll call and make a party. That's the risk. That is the risk.
Can the yid be a guarantor for chometz over Pesach?
Yes. The issue here is that he doesn't, as a guarantor, he doesn't own it. And his guarantee is only going to be called in after Pesach. There is a concept called rotsa b'kiyumo. There's a concept called roitzer b'kiyumoi. Let's say if I've got a business of renting cookware. I've got these large pots which I rent out to caterers. Now I'm not allowed to rent out these kalim to a goy over Pesach, because when the goy cooks in my pot, if you put an empty pot on the fire. So what happens is going to get ruined. Why does the pot not get ruined when you cook? Because the food absorbs the heat, whatever it is. So I'm roitzer b'kiyumoi. I want that chometz in my pot, which are on rental, to protect my pot. So that when there's a roitzer b'kiyumoi of my stuff, that is a problem for Pesach. Yeah, but the Orav Kablan, he's like a third party. He's a roitzer b'kiyumoi, but it's never become his. That's why it's okay. If you ask why are there poskim who don't go for the Baal Tanya's takon or Orav Kablan, that's their concern. That they say the Orav Kablan is a bit of an owner because he's roitzer b'kiyumoi.
Why do you go to the Orav first?
Why do I?
Before you go to the goy.
Because that's the term Orav Kablan means that I don't have to go to the original buyer. I can go straight to the Orav. That's the chiddush of Orav Kablan. Okay, so this is what I'll prepare before Pesach. Now, with this Orav Kablan, I think we've also solved the insurance concern, because it's not the risk of the goy, it's the risk of the Orav Kablan. If anybody is being reckless, it's not the goy, it's the Orav Kablan. Okay, I've heard a story of a case where a goy was started being smart and making a party in the local kretschmer, which he had bought, it is. And the Rav, the Bala Kretschmer came running to the Rav. this is Gefährlach. I have nothing left after Yamzuf. So the guy, the Rav says, calls in the guy, Ivanke, Ivan, I have a very important shlichus, you know, 3 days away. I don't trust anyone but you. And he gives him money, and he gives him, he hires Ivan for a 6-day trip there and back. And so Ivan goes off, and by the time he comes back, it's already after Pesach, and problem solved.
Is Orav Kablan being paid?
The Orav Kablan doesn't, does he get paid? No.
What benefit does he have?
He's doing it just to facilitate the Mechias Chometz. He's
done the mitzvah.
Yeah, he does, but he doesn't lose money.
He can.
He could. He's taking a risk, but he's not losing money under normal circumstances. Yeah, I've always got this anxiety. What would happen if the guy has a pay get in the middle of Pesach? Yeah, it can be. So then, all right, there's yorship.
The insurance risk is his name.
Pardon?
He becomes the insurance company.
Who?
It's Orav Kablan.
In a sense, yes. Yeah, I just want to share with you, just before going on to the actual Seder Mechira, Maisa Shehoyo, not Nagir Mamash to us, but Maisa Shehoyo, a family went away for Pesach, and they left another family to move in. It's a regular thing, it's change of houses, whatever. The freezer, there was a power cut. And the freezer, for some reason, stopped functioning, and all the stuff in the freezer got rotten. So what did they do? So the occupier, the tenant, whatever, took the stuff in the freezer and threw it out in the garbage. When the balabas comes back, they say, "What happened?" In one of the chickens, they had hidden a few $100.
Frozen assets.
And now, you read our silent.
I'm David Yogan.
Who is liable? You can't fault the tenant. You have to think that inside the chickens, which are rotten, that you have to worry about chometz. About frozen
assets. Money, it's not the first time.
Pardon?
Not the first time, I've heard it many times.
Yes, okay. So just the Sham of Israel. Okay, what happens is, so Erev Pesach, before Pesach, a couple of days before, I'll agree with the guy, this is the time, I'm very anxious to get it right, because I've got tremendous achrayas here. So we agree a time when it'll be available. I usually do two mechiras, because people who are traveling to Eretz Yisrael or that direction, when I sell the chometz about 11 o'clock on Erev Pesach, by then, if they're in Eretz Yisrael, it's already Zman HaYisur. So they're owning chometz, it's too late for them to sell their chometz. So I do two mechiras usually. One I do the night of Dikas Chometz, in other words, about 12 hours earlier. And so unless they're going to Australia, even Pesach Nisht, but it's a 9-hour difference. So I think we're 12 hours, I'm pretty covered. So we're doing an early Mechira, and then we're doing a Mechira on Erev Pesach after the Zman Isur Achila, before the Zman Isur Hanua. I have a 1-hour window approximately. By then, people have stopped eating chometz, but we're still allowed to have benefits. I can sell the chometz, so that's my window to work with. And perhaps I'll go a bit earlier because it takes time to discuss it. I'll have given this Shtar Makabal, Orav Kablan before. I'll sit down with the goy and go through this whole document. I just translate it straight into English as I'm speaking. He doesn't need to know the Hebrew. And so then we do kinyonim. So there's a few kinyonim which we'll do. One is kinyon sudar. So as you all know, by yourself when you sell your chometz, the rav gives you a cloth to pick up. So I tell the goy to prepare something, a cloth, as a sweater or a hat or something. So then, because what's the idea of kinyon sudar? That I take your thing and explain it to the goy. I take your thing and my thing now becomes yours. So I will pick up the goy's sweater, and in this way, my chometz, or whatever is in my power, now is by exchange becomes his. That's one of the kinyonim. He gives money. Now, money doesn't really work for kinyon of metaltalin. A at least. Yeah, because you have to have Kenyan Mashiach HaGbor. So how does it work? So what we also do is that the premises where the chometz is stored is also rented to the goy. And that also means I don't have chometz in my, I shouldn't be having chometz in my premises. So wherever the cupboards or the, all of this is included in rental, so the goy pays a rent. So he pays two payments. One payment for the actual chometz, and one payment for the rental for the premises. So there's a rent and there's a payment and a purchase. I explained to the goy how this is a valid mechira, and at the bottom of the shtar it says you have the authority to take this to a lawyer and translate it into English, whatever, and it should be, it will be recognized as a civil, you know, in a civil court. I explained that to him. And also I explained to him that he can make profit from this, and he does usually, yeah, because he buys it from me for, let's say, £100, and after Pesach I'll double his money. Whatever he gives me, I give him double, so it's worth it for him to go through the same geschäft next year. So I tell him that he can, and he makes some profit from this geschäft. We're going to do various kinyonim. As I say, he gives me the he gives me a first installment for the. He gives me the first installment for the payment. For the rest, he gives me the Arav Kablan. I do a Kenyan Suda with him, and we also shake hands on the deal. That's called Tkiyas Kaf. And then I give him the actual shtar, so that's Kenyan shtar. Now, there is a concept called Kenyan Agav. If I want to sell you, I have a cow in Delhi. We're sitting here, and I want to sell you my cow in Delhi. How do I sell it to you? I can't sell him, you can't do a Kenyan out there, we're over here. But if I sell you a piece of land, Dal Damas, whatever it may be, even less, I sell you a bit of land, and I've got Kenyan cow, okay, you also coin the cow in Delhi. That works. So that's what we do. That the goy is, well, he's not buying for me land, but he's renting for me land. So agav kinyan schiras mokim, agav kinyan of land of real estate. He's agav by extension is also koine the chometz wherever it is.
How would this work if the yid rents the house himself?
Okay, so all right, we're subletting. You may get into conflict with your landlord that he doesn't. But if I don't know how rigid that is, because we're talking about here of subletting a cupboard in your house for a week. You'd have to be a very stiff landlord to forbid that.
Yeah. It's valid. Then the land can not throw you out, but. He can't.
Well, that's an interesting point. You're saying that the subletting is valid, but you are in breach of
your lease. So that landlord can have to take it.
You can be penalised.
But if I made it good 8 days later, so I've stopped subletting.
Aha. Okay, that's an interesting point. Yes, thank you. Yes, and so then Kenyan Shtar. So he's got a signed document, and that's another Kenyan. So we've got Kenyan Kesef, Kenyan Chotzer, because the chometz is there in the Chotzer, Kenyan Shtar. We've done Kenyan Khalifim, which is Kenyan Sudar. We exchange. We do Ter Chatagrim. We shake hands on the deal, and then I also give the goyim the key. Now, in many communities, everyone gives their key to the Rav from Chiyas Chometz. In Dafke, in our community, we don't. But my personal key, to my own house, I give him the key, and so that's another Kenyan Messias Mafter. And then there's a beautiful thing, Oidisa. Now the chometz is all yours. That's another Kenyan. I can, with confidence, say to you, now the chometz is all yours. And that's why, let's say, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, I don't like this shtick of saying, oh, I'm going to sell it, but it's going to be chal tomorrow. I don't like that shtick. I want to be able to say with full confidence, now the chometz is all yours, and Zaymik isn't. that's the Kenyan Oidisa, which is, what happens after Pesach, I don't buy the chometz back. It's the Orav Kablam. He will come with me, and he'll buy the chometz back, and we always tell
this
the goy.
In Israel, where Shabbos is already not Pesach anymore.
Yes.
In Israel.
Yes.
So somebody shows the chometz in Israel, will he when it comes sorry, Friday, when it comes, Shabbos comes in on Friday night, and it's not Pesach anymore,
yes.
Can the Yid take his chumash for it out of the...
No, no, because I haven't brought it back. I haven't brought it back.
Till Motzei Shabbos.
Yeah.
In Israel.
Yeah.
They don't keep Yom Tov.
I know, but I... No, I mean, even the Eitz Dikya can't do that. Never mind Foot Chutzniks. Even the Eitz because the Rav can't buy it back. Because it's Shabbos.
You can't say Friday night.
No, you can't buy it back. You can't do a Kinyan on Shabbos.
You can't take a bottle of whiskey he sold out on Shabbos.
No. So they shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. Okay. Now, I always get Motzei Pesach. Have you bought the Chumash back? Can I get... I'm Mishtadl... Mamash by this man to go straight over to the guy. Sometimes the guy's out. He went out for the night. He'll come back at 11 o'clock. It's nishgifeld. Because to take goods from someone, al manas to pay, if I go to your house and I take a chair and I say, thank you very much, I'm taking this chair, here's £100. No. That's not called gzela, that's called oishik. And Oishik is only applicable to a Ben Yisrael. Oishik legavi agoi is muta. So therefore, just a second. Therefore, if, let's say, this bottle of whiskey belongs to the goy, and I take it, but I'm an asked shalim, not going to jip him out of any money. So that's Oishik. But the goy, that's muta. So in Behemoth, it's Nizhi Ferlach. If you, it's a zilzu. If people would be able to just open the, you know, and take the stuff, it's kind of doesn't look right. But minadin. They're not over on Gzela or anything.
What happens if he finds out after the guy decided not to give it back to him? And
yeah.
He's taking it back and he can't.
Okay, so then we have it. So the guy wants to hold on to it, fine. So
he's taking it back, he's starting to use it.
A good pseudo. So he'll have a kaina that I owe him some money.
He didn't have a right to use it.
So Oishik with the guy's mutter. Because I'm not intending to jip you out of money. If anything, I'll owe you some money. I'll pay you. We'll sort it out. So that's not a problem. Yeah. What's our time frame? Okay. Very very quickly. I had a Purim Shaila, which is connected to Pesach, and that is one of our Ingalite was so busy reading Megillah again and again and again. That by the time he made a Purim event in his, it's just in South London, and he made a Purim event, let's say 5 o'clock. So he was middle end of the Megillah. Okay, so Gatnish. So he wanted to know whether he can have a sip of water in the middle of the Megillah. So this is connected to Hilchos Bedikas Chametz. If you start Bedikas Chametz, and in the middle of Bedikas Chametz you spoke about who won the match last week. So it's nicht negeir to the medikas chometz, yeah, it's chometz, but nicht negeir to the medikas chometz. So now, it doesn't invalidate. You don't have to make a new bracha because between a bracha and hascholas hamitzvah, you're not allowed to be mafsik. And if you do, you have to make a new bracha. But once you've started the mitzvah, you're in the middle of a stretch of a mitzvah. It takes, however, it takes an hour, whatever it makes to medikas chometz. Once you're in the middle of a mitzvah, it's not a problem to be hefsik. Like in the middle of a sitting in sukkah, hemshik, yeah. Every minute, you sit in the sukkah, it's a mitzvah. And if he's talking middle of the sukkah about Fayyari Kishnei, it doesn't mean you have to make a new bracha for Hemshech HaMitzvah, because in middle of a Hemshech HaMitzvah, it's not a problem of Hefzik, it doesn't invalidate your bracha. The Chatchila, you shouldn't. And it says Mefurish in Ramor, that in middle of Megillah, you shouldn't stop to chat. Well, but yeah, certainly B'Shas Adchak, this fellow is Poshe Segetnisht, so he was, he enabled me to have a connection between Shleishim Yom Lefnei Achag to speak on Purim about Pesach. So I wish you all a kosher for the Yom Tov.
I'm going to go to the hospital.